Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. And today we are going to be learning together some new ways to enjoy a classic dish, pasta, with our guest who has a great new book out. And I'll be introducing Joshua McFadden a little more in just a few minutes. But it's our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Your support's the essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. And in fact, listener support's our biggest source of funding. And this drive is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And here to help me today, Eric Reiling, who has a long title, Chief Development Officer. He's Executive Director of Friends of Wisconsin, PBS Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
Oh. Good to be with you, Larry. Glad we got through that.
I tell you what, and here we are. It's great to talk to you, actually, because we've got a great dollar-for-dollar match to start things out.
That's right. It is a dollar-for-dollar match during this hour here. It's a very generous match from our friends at Rutabaga Paddle Sports. Thank you over there to our good friends. $2,000 during this hour. So if you make that call, give it the amount that's right for you. That could be $2,000 or whatever amount is right for you. We'll match it dollar for dollar thanks to our friends at Rutabaga. So give us a call or going online to WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
Kind of their way to encourage you to join in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, funding for public media has been in the news a lot, and we want you to know that while all funding is important, voluntary listener contributions make up the largest and most reliable source of funding.
That means, like Larry led off with, your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Together, let's keep WPR strong. Now that you know how important you are, please make your gift at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
Sure, it's personally important to you to support WPR, and probably also important to you that everyone in the state has access to the high-quality information and entertainment.
We've got a lot of great ways to say thank you when you do make that call. We've got the window cling, WPR window cling, and a special WPR mug. Window cling's available with a gift at any level. WPR mug with a gift starting at $12 a month. Show your support for WPR. Give now, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552.
I think it's a great business model in that it operates using donations from people and donations from corporations. It works. I'm happy to donate because I think it's so important. And I'm happy to donate more because I know there's some people out there that can't. It's just great company in the house. I'm Mary from Menominee, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for everyday listening.
Mary, thank you very much. What about you? Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our winter member drive. Larry Mueller here with Eric Reiling. Listener support's the biggest source of our funding, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has a big impact.
Giving to WPR is easy. It's easy to give to WPR. All it takes is just a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, whatever works for you, $10 a month, $12 a month, go ahead and get in touch with us now.
Yeah, that donation will come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And let us say thank you with that WPR window cling or with a gift of $12 a month or more with this special WPR mug. It's our way, one of our ways of saying thank you to you for your support right now.
Make your gift right now and make it in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thank you for making an investment that serves the whole community. And our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. Still room for your gift to be matched. You can give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far. And by the way, that window cling, any amount that you contribute, we'll send you one of those window clings. It's got the WPR logo and tells you everything, tells you everyone, I should say, that you're a proud supporter. Here's for any gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's a great time to become a sustaining member. So easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Know that your membership is always active. Get started at WPR.org or with a phone call to 888-202-2552.
Tracy in De Pere says, I've listened in Wisconsin and when I lived in Hawaii and Brazil when I lived there. Okay, that's great. And frankly, we've had phone calls during the show from all over the world. I think Germany,
wow.
New Zealand.
Amazing.
Mexico. It's great. And Tracy says, it's always on when I travel at home or in the car. What about you? Your gift right now, very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much. As we turn our attention to Joshua McFadden. Joshua is a culinary creative guy and the author of Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. Joshua has also wrote Six Seasons, A New Way with Vegetables, and that book won the James Beard Award in 2018. So as we talk with Joshua, I hope you'll join in. Tell us how you include maybe seasonal veggies in your pasta. Care to share a favorite recipe? What's your trick for telling when your noodles are cooked? Oh, that's always something that I struggle with. Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234. You can email us to talk at WPR.org. Joshua McFadden, welcome.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you with us, and I'm really having a lot of fun with your book. I tell you, and we'll talk about some of the things that I've been fooling around with, and Claire Neipert, our producer, has as well. And you have the book organized by season. Talk about the book itself and how it's organized by season. And in your mind, there are not four seasons; there are six seasons in the year.
Yeah, the summer seems to have a little bit of micro moments and shoulder seasons. Spring starts earlier in some places, and as does fall being a little later or a little early. I had worked on a farm in Maine, so I think I started noticing all that stuff then, and then just kind of put a book together to be able to help people understand that.
Pasta, of course, is featured in here, although you prepare, created a lot of great dishes. But why is pasta a dish for any season?
Oh, pasta is one of the best things in the world. So it just made sense to kind of focus on something that I had spent a lot of time with and have a great love for, understanding of, and just kind of started getting into it a little bit more to be able to explain the things that I've learned to help make successful pasta, if you will.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody might say, well, it's easy. All you have to do is boil some noodles and then you open a jar of sauce. But there's more to it than that. You even talk about it being similar to a haiku.
No, I mean, it's the people think that it is funny because it's like the thing that everyone things that they can make even if they've never cooked anything in their lives, which is amazing to me. And it's just completely misunderstood. And I think to be able to do it right, you really need to pay attention to a lot of little things to be able to make it sublime.
Yeah. And I know you love talking about making and eating food. And you grew up in Wisconsin. I think Beloit area, if I'm not mistaken. How did growing up in Wisconsin influence the way you cook?
I was around a lot of really interesting little small farms with my aunt and my grandmother. My aunt had a farm. My grandmother just had an incredible garden and all kinds of different fruiting trees. So I really kind of didn't realize I was getting that education in that. But at the same time, I also was eating at McDonald's. So there was a lot. There was a lot of different things.
Yeah.
That came together.
Yeah. And your career has been interesting. You are some very successful work as a chef out on the West Coast, and you've done a lot of advising, serving as an advisor for
consulting.
That's the better word for it. Do you like that role?
I love it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's sometimes bizarrely what's needed to be able to go into a company where everyone's spending the same time staying and seeing the same things, and having somebody from the outside come in and be able to help just change the direction a little bit and point out something that somebody might not be seeing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Take us through, I mean, you have, I don't know how many recipes are in this book. There are a whole lot of them, and you've created the recipes for complementing the pasta, and you have given us some really good advice, I think, on how to prepare the pasta. But what's your process in this recipe creating business?
Ooh, that's a good one. It's all consuming. I mean, it starts with the idea of subject. It's always centered around the seasons. So since that work has largely kind of been forged and there's a map from the previous books, a little bit easier to understand where to start thinking about what to focus on. So from working on turnips or working on carrots or working on peppers, that certainly does help tremendously. But then it just kind of start getting in there and understanding the things that I have done with that vegetable and then how it applies or how it doesn't apply. Yeah. Never really trying to just make something out of nothing for the sake of it. Like if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not supposed to work. There's reasons why there's classics.
Oh man. Well, the first recipe or one of the first you ever created that you felt like it was your own was called Sun Gold Tomatoes with Basil and Garlic. Tell us about that dish and how it came to be.
That's funny. Again, those were tomatoes that were taken from my aunt's garden, ironically. And then I had asked a family friend who was this French guy about how I can make a pasta sauce, tomato sauce with these tomatoes. And he said, you can't. Because he's French and he's stubborn. And so I may or may not have made it successfully that moment, but I certainly did later in life. And I still think about how funny it was when there was like, you can't do this. And I'm like, yeah, I think you can. One of the best dishes I've ever had in my life, actually.
That's pretty cool. Joshua McFadden, our guest today, culinary creative and author of Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. And it has been a lot of fun, I'm telling you. We'll get into some more of that as we move along today about trying these recipes out, and especially and we're going to get to the noodles next, because he's got some really interesting thoughts on proper preparation of the noodles, which, you know, I've tried it, followed his rules, and it's not all that difficult, but it really can make a big difference. Another guy who can make a big difference is Eric Greiling, executive director of Wisconsin Public Radio Association. And he's looking at me right now saying, hey, it's time to talk. Listeners, and that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And it's you, the listeners, who do make the biggest difference. And now is a great time for you to make that difference because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect for the rest of this hour. We're halfway toward our goal of $2,000, the $2,000 that will be matched. And we want you to be able to take advantage of that match. So we're halfway there. Call now so that you can be part of that match. There's still room to get your gift doubled. Step up with your support for WPR programs now at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552. Your gift will have an even greater impact.
You know, I'm having some fun today talking with Joshua McFadden about his book, Six Seasons of Pasta. And we're going to get some really good tips here as we move along today. And one of the things I think that may be unique to Wisconsin Public Radio and a benefit, you're going to enjoy your pasta more after you learn how to do it properly. And we are listener supported. And, you know, you're going to learn something today. And when you give, you're making this hour and many more hours possible. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. You can choose an amount that works for you. It only takes a couple of minutes and then make your gift.
You can learn how to make your pasta better, and we can help you learn how to feel better about listening to Wisconsin Public Radio by becoming a sustainer. Know that you're doing your part. Know that that's automatic for you every month deduction from your checking account or your credit card to support ongoing monthly gifts to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Many thousands of people are members and proud sustainers, and you can provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs you care about. Become a sustainer right now. Choose any amount, let's say 10 or 20 bucks a month to start with. Set it up to be ongoing. Easy to do at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We welcome your gift of any amount in support of Wisconsin Public Radio. This drive, no matter the size of your gift, you can ask for the WPR window cling as your thank you gift.
It's clear and it'll look really great anywhere you want to stick it to show support.
It also says proud supporter. I would probably put it on my car window.
My kitchen window, right in the front of the house.
It is great at showing I am proud to be a supporter.
Ask for your window cling with your donation of any amount. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Eric Greiling. Your support during our drive makes all the programs you enjoy possible, and your gift could be 10 or 20 bucks a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
You, the listener, the people of Wisconsin, well, we heard earlier, people are listening all around the world. You have access to pick meaningful conversations to listen to because tens of thousands of individuals and households choose to support WPR.
And we work on the honor system here. Join this team effort with your gift right now, $10 a month. You decide the amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Whatever amount is right for you, that dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect thanks to our friends at Rutabaga Paddle Sports. We're so grateful to our business sponsors. We're grateful to you. There's still time for your gift to be matched. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And Rudy in Minneapolis, Minnesota says, we love to hear WPR at our cabin. And you might be in a cabin, too, listening right now, or maybe you're just at home, or maybe you're at work. Wherever you are, your gift right now is very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Talking pasta today with Joshua McFadden, who is the author of Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. And a question you have, if you have one about pasta or recipes, I hope you'll join in. Give us a call, the number 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. Joshua, let's take a closer look at noodles. You recommend using dried noodles instead of fresh. Why is that?
Well, they're different to begin with, but I prefer the texture of dried pasta. Dry pasta. I love fresh pasta when it's more like dumpling style, agnolotti and ravioli the most. I mean, it's great with like longer noodles, pappardelle and things like that. But most of the time, when people say they love pasta, they love dried pasta. They just don't realize it.
Yeah, and it's a whole lot easier to go to the store and buy some bags of pasta and make your
own. Well, there's that too, right? Yeah.
That's what I love about your book. This is the easier way to do things in so many ways. And I got to tell you, and I probably should have waited until after the show to do this, because you inspired me so much in this book that I was at the grocery store yesterday and I went through and I said, okay, I think I'll get a bag of this pasta, and then I'm going to go with this kind of pasta. Here's the wavy one, the wide one, the circular ones.
That's great.
So I took home a whole bag full of pasta, thanks to your book. And frankly, when you add it all up, it's not a whole heck of a lot of money compared to so many other things. But the reason I mentioned I probably should have waited, how can you, I think I know, but how can you choose a good dried pasta?
Well, it's really about the way that it's extruded and the way that it's dried. So a really good, more artisanal pasta is going to have great grains. That's just a given and an obvious. And then milled properly, and it goes through extruder, and you're going to achieve a better noodle when it goes through a bronze dye because of the way that it heats up and doesn't heat up and creates these little actual imperfections and a little bit more rugged, rigid texture on the outside of the noodle. So when the packets are kind of like look dusty, kind of a good thing because that's an area where the sauce can absorb into the noodle. As yeah. opposed to when it goes through like a Teflon, so it's super, super slick, you're not getting a noodle that will absorb as much and release as much starch and absorb at the same time all of the goodness of the sauces that you're creating.
When I was buying it yesterday, I avoided the bow tie pasta shape, and you don't like it either.
Everyone should avoid it.
Why?
You know why. Tell the world.
I don't like the look of it. I don't like the feel of it. I just don't like it. So it doesn't.
It doesn't cook right in the center. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
You can probably overcook it and make it all right in a pasta salad, but still, you have to do something wrong to make it right.
Okay, so here we go. Walk us through the steps for cooking pasta to just the right amount of doneness. And you stop before the directions. Well, go ahead and explain it. I should not be doing this. Go ahead.
Well, I always look first and foremost to the recommended time on the package, and it's always somewhere hard to find, but 9.5 times out of 10, it's on there somewhere. Probably also wrong, but it's a great place to start. I always, 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 always use a timer. And then, so if it says 10 minutes, I'll set a timer for 8 minutes and work towards that. And around 6-7 minutes, start tasting it to see the texture and start understanding how much longer it's going to need. Cause I want to pull it out when it's underdone, then we'll put it in a sauce and be able to bring some of the water over and continue cooking it that way.
Yeah, and it's not all that hard to do. And you salt your pasta water. Why do you do that?
Absolutely. Flavor.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It absorbs a little bit, but it also cooks in that liquid, releases the starch, and you're going to be using that water. So I'm not adding salt anywhere else.
Yeah. And, you know, they always talk about al dente, I believe. Is that the right way to pronounce it? Al dente?
Al dente.
Dente. That's right. Like you dent a can. Okay. Why, if you're like a lot of people, you go, well, what really is that? What are some signs your pasta is al dente?
The easiest way to figure out is when it's still really toothsome and it won't stick to your teeth.
Ah.
that's the easiest way. So when you start an underdone pasta, when you start chewing on it, it'll kind of like stick in your teeth. And you want to just keep getting it to that point where it's that perfect point where it has a lot more resistance than most people think, but it's not sticking anymore. Holds its shape.
It holds its shape. Okay. And let's turn to sauces for a bit. There are two main types of sauces in this book, ragus and built-in-the-skillet sauces. Maybe we talk about the differences between the two of them.
The ragus were built more for the idea of spending a little bit more time making something, and then you can freeze some. They're for larger batches, and then the skillet sauces are like on the fly, ready to go. Can be done really quickly if you have everything on hand.
So yeah,
they are very different.
Talk a little more about your book, because now that I'm thinking of it, your recipes, you made the book in such a way that it's kind of for two people, but it can be easily, you know, ramped up. And I kind of like the two people idea, since I live alone and oftentimes I have somebody over for dinner. It's just the two of us anyway.
Exactly. I chose to do it just because of what you just said. I mean, most people are cooking for smaller amounts of people. But more importantly, it's also so difficult to make. Pasta's not easy. We already went over that, right? So it gets really hard when you're trying to make it for a bunch of people, because then it's just all the rules are out and it's very difficult. So I felt it easier to be able for people to understand how to do it for two, mm-hmm. and then start ramping up from there. To be able to understand at least, like, this is what it's supposed to be like. So when you start going into, you know, 4, 6, 8 people, you have a reference of what it was supposed to taste like.
John, we got an email from John who says, I've got a can of artichoke hearts. What can I do with a can of artichoke hearts and some pasta?
There's several recipes in the book, yeah.
Yeah. Give us an example of a simple one.
Well, there's this really cool artichoke Italian vinaigrette, like salmon or chicken. Could be cold, could be warm pasta. That's really fun. That's a really good one that I really like. There's a lot of really good ones in the book. I don't have the book in front of me. Do you have the book in front of you?
Well, it's not directly in front of me, but it's off to my left. Yeah.
Open it up. Artichoke. Let's test the seasonality if it really works.
Well, it's, let's see, artichokes. Well, it's going to take me forever to find the artichoke recipe. What if I said, all I've got is a can of artichokes and I've got some noodles. What can I add to that? You know, should I put the can of artichokes in a pan and sort of heat them up and make some noodles on the side? What kind of noodles should I use? And would there be some garlic or other things involved?
Yeah, I'd probably get some garlic and herb. Obviously, you're going to need olive oil. You need some cheese to toss it with. A little lemon juice goes a long way.
Yeah. What's your favorite cheese to use, by the way? You use a combination, do you not?
I do. I use a 50-50 blend of pecorino and Parmesan.
And not out of the can.
Definitely not out of the can. Make it yourself. The classic green can.
You talk about that earlier. Your grandma had that, didn't she? The classic green can. Well, I bet if
she sure did.
I bet if we looked in the refrigerators of every person in Wisconsin, what do we got, about 5 million people here? So let's say there's at least 2 or 3 million households. Of the 3 million households, 2.98% of them will have that green can.
I love that. You're not wrong. But it also, Wisconsin also has a cheese that comes closest to actual Parmesan Reggiano from Italy than anywhere else in the world. And do you know what it is?
No.
You should ask that question to your readers and have listeners and have people call in. It's a local cheese. It's a big one. It's in every grocery store. Starts with an S.
Well, I thought you were going to say starts with a P.
Nope. Starts with an S. Local.
All right. Well, if you've got the answer to that, give a call at 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Oh, man, oh, man. Talking today with Joshua McFadden. His book is titled Six Seasons of Pasta, New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. And you can join in with your own questions or comments, or maybe you've got an experience to share with your pasta. Did it ever come out of the pan in a big glob? That's happened to me, but I've gotten around that. I don't do that very much anymore because I know I've got to stir a little bit. Oh, gosh. Well, I know a guy whose pasta always comes out perfect every time. I think around the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, they call him the king of pasta, Eric Greiling. And if you want to know about pasta, you ought to read first. You could read Joshua McFadden's book, Six Seasons of Pasta. But if you need a quick answer, you go to Eric Greiling, who's with me in the studio here, to talk about our Wisconsin Public Radio winter member drive. And as a listener, you always hear something kind of interesting and fun when you tune in. And thanks a lot for your support. Listeners, as you know, provide the largest source of our funding. And when you give at WPR.org, or maybe you phone 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible. And we still have that dollar-for-dollar match.
We've used it up.
All right.
Our listeners have maxed that out. Aren't they wonderful?
That's great. That's good news, but you're not telling people to stop contributing.
Absolutely not. We still need your support to keep WPR strong together. You are absolutely vital. You are our single largest source of funding, and we are grateful for that. Depend upon it. And it helps us to serve you better. It's serving me better. I thought I was the king of pasta when I came in this morning, but I just realized all the mistakes I made, even last night when I made my goat cheese and bow tie pasta. Sorry.
Oh, bow tie pasta.
Sorry, Joshua.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he's not perfect. Eric's not perfect when it comes to pasta, but he's pretty darn good. And, you know, we will focus on pasta every once in a while, but we'll talk about everything else, too. How to make your life better every day. We've got a lot of practical advice. And we cover topics that affect your community. We'll talk about Wisconsin wildlife, especially on Wednesdays. We'll look at interesting things going on at the university and in the state. We look at health issues. consumer protection, and even sports.
I'm not so good at pasta, apparently, but I am good at learning, and I'm pretty good at saying thank you. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, members and sustainers, for calling in, showing that support. You make this show possible when you join in the conversation and with your financial support, your gift to WPR.org or by calling 1-888-202-2552 keeps interesting conversations available to all.
Well, I tell you what, Wisconsin Public Radio, I think it's probably part of your routine. I click it on every day. It's just, you know, it's kind of the thing to do. And here you've got great news. You've got great conversation. You got a great place to learn a few things. If you're a music type, your source for classical music, I'm pretty sure of that. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month maybe at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
And to do that, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our drive. Larry Mueller here with Eric Greiling. And as we say it, listener support's the biggest source of our funding. And you can make our essential service possible or help make it possible with your gift. And you and your community, thanks for your support.
And we want to thank our friends at Rutabaga Paddle Sports for encouraging your giving today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. If you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before, we're especially asking you during this drive to make that contribution. We have other ways of contacting our current members, but the best way we have to contact you to let you know how much your support matters is through these drives.
You'll feel great when you support the station you rely on, and WPR programs, of course, are going to benefit from your contribution. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Eric, I don't know if you can see the comment from Patrick in Hillsdale.
Patrick said, Larry Mueller has given me so many enjoyable hours of listening. His programs and his guests are always educational. Well said, Patrick in Hillsdale.
Thank you so much, Patrick. What about you? Join with your gift right now. Powerful really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Tomorrow on the show, we'll take a look at the latest issue of Big River Magazine with Reggie McLeod. We cover pretty much the biggest news and stories from the communities around it along the Mississippi River. But right now, we are visiting with Joshua McFadden, author of Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. And it's a dandy book. I really enjoy it. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions as we move along here. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. Dwayne in Westfield has been waiting a bit. Let's go there. Hi, Dwayne. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, love the show. Miss you. I can't believe you're leaving, but had to call in and give an answer, my friend.
Oh, good. What have you got for us?
Well, he said to have us call in and answer the question for the only place that actually in the United States that's close to having something from Italy about Parmesan cheese. If I'm correct, I think it was the company, was the answer was Sargento?
No. It wasn't Sargento. Oh.
No.
It does. It still does. Well,
unfortunately, I guess I made the mistake on that one.
somebody might get it right.
Somebody might get it right, Duane. Thanks a lot. Sargento is, they've been in business a long time here in Wisconsin, and some good cheeses too. Tom in Minocqua, it's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Larry and Joshua. Two questions. Oh. One, how do you make cacio e pepe? First of all, how do you say it? Secondly, how do you make it without the cheese and stuff getting all clumpy? Not the pasta, the cheese just always gets clumpy when I make it.
You said it right, first of all, cacio e pepe. Well, it's one more reason to buy my book because I detail it in there. But it's really about heat. The heat and starchy pasta water to create the right emulsion the right time. So it's just about timing and patience. And then once you understand that, it gets really easy from there.
All right. There you go. It's timing. And you kind of outline that in your book, don't you?
I sure do. Yeah. It's a really important thing to kind of learn because you want to learn how to do that same idea with cheese with a bunch of different sauces. So it's really helpful when you kind of get in there and you understand it a little bit. It's great.
Yeah. Deb in Plymouth recommends Sartori cheese.
Bingo.
I knew that was the answer. I'm pretty sure that was the answer. But I wanted people to call in and take a guess, and that was an email. By the way, Barb emailed that reminding me to remind everybody that you are from Wisconsin, graduated from Union Grove High School, and Barbara is a friend of your mom's.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So there you go. Oh, man. You can join. If you got a question or a comment or maybe an experience to share with pasta or cheese or anything else, give a call. The number 800-642-1234. You can email to talk@wpr.org. You know, many of your recipes call for some reserved pasta water, and you compare pasta water to broth. What's the value of pasta water?
Oh, it's like gold. It has all the starch that's leached out during the cooking process, which is part of the benefit. It also has the salt because we salted it. So you're literally using that to thicken and season at the same time. So very hard, if not near impossible, to make a great bowl of pasta without it.
Yeah, I like the way you add it in. And it's... I'm thinking that by quitting the pasta in the boiling water 2 minutes early, then you're kind of using partly the pasta water as a broth. How do you save? Now, here's the thing. I wear glasses. Mm. And when I pour the boiling water out, suddenly I can't see anymore. Last time I did it, I took my glasses off, and then things were fuzzy, but at least I could see something. So what do you do?
I don't ever, unless I'm making like a pasta salad or something like that, I don't ever really dump the whole pasta water out into a colander. I prefer to scoop it out with a handheld colander, if you will, or tongs, and like go straight into a pan from there because I want to save the liquid. It's a lot easier for me.
Yeah, and I like those tongs you've got that have kind of nice ends for actually grabbing. What are those tongs anyway? I saw the photos of them.
Those are also in the book, and there's a link to William Sonoma for those. They're great. Spoon.
Yeah, I thought about looking one up somewhere and getting one because I like I like how it seemed to be actually capturing the pasta, which I sometimes can't do myself with the one that I've got. Oh, boy, I tell you what. We are talking with Joshua McFadden, his book, Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way, with everyone's favorite food. It's fun to have him on. He's going to be with us for another hour as we talk with him about pasta. And you'll be able to join in with your own questions and comments as we move along. One comment that I've got is that we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your WPR listening. And Eric Reiling, Executive Director of Wisconsin Public Radio Association, with me in the studio. And, gee, Eric, did you know that listener support makes up the biggest piece of our funding?
I do know that. And we're grateful to our listeners for that.
And that's why the gift's so important right now.
Absolutely. And this is our best way to reach new members, to add to those tens of thousands of members who do support WPR. That's why your gift, whether you're adding to your existing membership, you're adding to your existing sustainer giving, or becoming a member for the very first time, it feels so good and it's very important. You can make that gift at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
And here we are. I've got some more questions online. I'm just looking at an email from Veronica. She's got a question relating to cheese. There are other questions coming up relating to pasta. You know, people get into this program a lot of times when we have a guest on, and they go, oh, I've got a question about pasta, or I've got a question about cheese, or I've got a question about this meal in this particular kind of show. And I think it enriches a lot of people's lives as they listen in. And we are listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
It's a great way to show your support for Larry, for the Larry Mueller Show, and you can make your donation even easier when you do make that call, when you do go online and become a sustainer. Choose the monthly amount that's right for you, $10, $20 a month, whatever's right for you. Have a charge from your bank account or your credit card.
And when you're a sustainer, of course, that monthly gift continues year after year, so your support's always current. You can start your ongoing monthly gifts right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're asking you to support the quality programs you value on WPR with your gift right now during our drive. And your contribution could be $10. It could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose makes a difference for the entire community. And our dollar-for-dollar match is long gone, but that doesn't mean we don't want you to continue to contribute. Any amount will send you a WPR window cling, and for a $12 a month contribution, we will send you our infamous WPR mug, which I really like that mug, and I've already paid for I've already walked down to the money ladies and said, okay, put me in for $150. I'll take it. And then I got the window cling, too, because I threw in an extra couple of bucks.
It's a great addition to your WPR mug collection, isn't it? It's kind of the blaze orange cap of mugs.
I have more WPR mugs than anybody living, I'm pretty sure. Oh, gosh. We have a lot of fun on this program, And I think we learn quite a bit along the way. We got a really good group of people I work with every day to make this program possible. And if you enjoy this program and maybe the other programs that you value here on WPR, make it now the time for you to give. Your gift right now, powerful, really makes a difference. We are going to be taking a break for news, and then we'll be back. And I see there are some questions for Joshua McFadden, author of Six Seasons of Pasta, and we'll get to those. And your question, too, so give a call. I'm Larry Mueller, along with Eric Reiling, and we will be back after the news. You stay with us. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at the new book that's out titled Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. Having fun talking with Joshua McFadden, and you can join in. Question or comment, maybe you've got something you want to share in terms of a recipe with pasta, or maybe you had a disaster, or maybe you have a question about cooking with pasta, give a call, 800-642-1234, or you can email to talk at WPR.org. Here we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive, and Eric Greiling joining me, Executive Director of Wisconsin Public Radio Association, among other things. And he's here to help me tell you that your gift is very important. I hope you'll take that important step to support the programs you value when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is looking to the future, and we're able to look to that future because of your support. WPR has been around for more than 100 years, and it will continue to serve you and your community for years to come. If that future counts on you right now, let's keep WPR strong together. Make a gift right now. You can do that at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
You're very powerful because you and other people who listen provide the most significant share of our funding. It's an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in the news, the conversations, and the entertainment that keep you informed and engaged.
It's your contribution that keeps independent public service radio on the air. It's for you, and it's for the entire community. Please give now at WPR.org or with your call to 888-202-2552.
My name is Sarah, and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I would tell a friend that they should join in listening to Wisconsin Public Radio because it's one of the coolest sources of interesting news and stories and happenings of the day. If I get those news segments during my time listening to public radio in the car, I have a pretty informed sense of what's going on in the world that day and can feel like an informed, ready-to-go citizen.
We're listener-supported radio. That means we count on money from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. Go to WPR.org and click donate.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Eric Greiling. Listener support's the biggest source of our funding, and maybe your gift is $10 a month or maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose has an important impact.
We know you value your time, and we value your time, too. Thank you for spending some time with us listening to The Larry Mueller Show. And it only takes a couple minutes to show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. Give us a call. Tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Very quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a couple of minutes. Support the station you count on at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552. And what can you spend $10 on? I think I spent more than 10 bucks yesterday on pasta noodles. But there are other ways that most people don't do that every day, but I do get a cup of coffee every day.
Yeah, and that's a great way to think about how much should I give to WPR? What's the right amount for me? How much do I value this service? What is something I can give back to show my support, keep this kind of radio, this kind of service alive for you. And when you do, you'll join a community of tens of thousands of people who give what they can for programs they value. So choose the right amount. It depends on all of us working together. $10 a month, whatever's right for you. Every gift is powerful at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I made a little video the other day for our social media on the mug.
Okay.
I'm holding the mug. I take a little drink of coffee, and I talk about the mug. And that mug is actually pretty cool. I'll have it right up there with, actually, I'll probably use that one a lot because I like the heft of it and I like the color of it. And you can have one of those mugs too. You can join me with one of those stylish WPR mugs when you contribute at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Mesa Maney says, we've been listening for 50 years, and we're hoping for 50 more. Well, I've been on 59 years, so obviously, Ann, you didn't start when you should have started. You could have started 9 years earlier.
You could have.
you could have been with me the whole time. Oh, man. Your gift right now really makes a difference. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much. I want to get back to Joshua McFadden, his book, Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. And Joshua, we have Dean and Prairie du Chien with something for us. Let's go there. Dean, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've got a question. I have allergic to sulfur and sulfate, and I seem to find that sulfate, some type of sulfate, is in all the pasta.
Oh, sulfate in pastas. Okay. Well, Joshua, what do you think?
Sulfate in pastas? I don't know. Just salt in general, or the?
It may be salt in general. Usually,
that's rough. That's a horrible. First of all, I'm sorry to hear that. That sucks. I guess I would just use less salt. But traditionally there isn't salt in a dried pasta. It's just grain and water.
Okay, so you're...
So you would omit it, I guess, from the pasta water, because that's just a health decision, I would imagine.
Yeah. Would you do something else with the water? Would you add some olive oil or something to it?
No, you don't ever want to add oil, because then nothing will stick. I think you could probably rely on cheese at the end of it.
Yeah, cheese.
For like a natural saltiness, if you will.
Yeah, that would work. And speaking of that, Veronica emailed to ask what kind of cheese you like to use when you make mac and cheese. Do you have any favorite add-ins?
Add-ins. Oh, that could go on for days. I really love... Honestly, I really love the Organic Valley cheeses for mac and cheese, to be honest. Isn't that? That's a Wisconsin company, too, right?
Yeah.
I'm always using their organic cheeses are really, really, really good, especially if you can get a hold of any, like, the cheese curds, I think is really fun. And this being in Wisconsin right now, you can certainly get cheese curds in there. Get cheese curds in your mac and cheese.
Oh,
so good.
Now, our cheese curds are usually pretty good size. Do you just throw them in?
Why not? It's like having little boulders of cheese everywhere.
But then you have the other cheese, too. It's not just
I think I always add, like, multiple cheeses. I think there's always three cheeses. There's one that's like a super melter, then there's one that's a little bit more aged. I think the cheese curds or like a mozzarella or something like that would be incredible.
Vicky and...
Not traditional.
No.
It's kind of more like... I think it's more like a baked mac and cheese is what I'm thinking in my head. Which is what I really like, too, because when you have, like, the texture on the top and it's kind of, like, more casserole, if you will.
Yeah, so how do you make it... How do you bake it, then? How do you make it? So you make the... Boil the the noodles or the pasta.
Mm-hmm. Just like you would in general. I mean, you just make a pasta dish, but then you would just be finishing it and tossing it with more cheese and then anything else you wanted to put in there, pickled peppers or whatnot, and then put it in the oven with more cheese on top, and then some breadcrumbs.
Oh, I love
it. Bake it up.
There's a restaurant here that in town that does a really nice job with mac and cheese. And you can throw some, well, they'll have your choices. Or you can put some meats in there, too.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, to make it even more fun. Vicki in Lake Mills emailed that she says the green container of Parmesan cheese is not in her kitchen. Not in all caps.
I feel like you're going to be in trouble.
She usually doesn't shred her own, but she buys quality shredded Parmesan in containers in the deli department. Then she puts the cheese in the freezer and gets it out when she needs it. What do you think of that?
I think that's a great idea. You know where you can get great Parmesan Reggiano and Pecorino Romano is Costco.
Oh, I did not know that. Well,
it's the real deal because they have the buying power for it, so they have really exceptional supply chain already sorted, and then a great price, and then you can get big chunks, bring it home, store it right, and then you can use it to grate it up when you're doing batches of things. What I do all the time.
Yeah, that sounds that's good to know. And I liked your idea of freezing in the containers. I don't have containers. I've got to get some more containers. I can see that are the right size. What are the sizes of those containers you use? Like for a couple of folks,
I use little pint containers or little quart containers. But you can use whatever you have available to make it easy for yourself.
Yeah, I guess you can. But you recommend one thing I kind of thought was cool. You recommend warming your pasta bowl or plate before adding the finished pasta. And why is that?
Oh, it's certainly hot. I mean, the old idea of any hot food should go in a hot plate, bowl, same thing with cold, go the opposite way, just because it preserves the temperature of the food ingredient that you're putting in there, as opposed to just, like, taking away and making it colder. Back in, like, my restaurant days, you'd want it kind of almost alarmingly hot because traveling a certain distance, you know, so helps to retain the heat in the best possible way.
Yeah. Let's talk for a minute about equipment. You recommend a digital scale for cooking. And I see it often in, you know, if you're going to be a baker and baking stuff, people tend to be very precise about the baking things. But you recommend it in general for cooking, I believe. Why is that?
Especially with recipes, you can get more precise with the idea of things. So if something goes wrong, you can at least trace it back to the idea that maybe one of the ingredients, like a peppercorn, wasn't as fresh or wasn't toasted or wasn't whatever. So it definitely controls the variables, but it also just helps the people to understand like what the right idea was, what the right amount was. And weight is a lot easier than volume most of the time.
Yeah, you're right about that. Irene wonders in an email, how big a pot do you need for boiling pasta? And why does it matter?
The bigger the better is the answer, honestly. I think you don't want the pasta water to stop boiling when you put the noodles in. So you can take that idea and just apply it to whatever you're doing. Like, I understand that everyone doesn't have big pots, but I'll just be mindful of that same idea and just try to get to that point. Because you definitely don't want it to stop boiling, because then it just goes down below the 212 degrees and then it takes a while. So just the noodles don't perform well when they're just kind of floating around in tepid water.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got a pot that I use, and I know how far up that pot, the water level needs to go in order for it to work the best for me. And you have some amounts when it comes to water in pots.
I do have like a ratio that I recommend, again, by weight, so you can like really understand what it is. I don't remember the exact ratio. I have it written down because I follow it even when I go in the kitchen. I have like little things that I can just kind of cheat and know that it is what it is when I'm that pot that I use every single time and that amount of salt every single time. But it's like, I think it's like four quarts to a certain weight of salt will constantly be the idea of what you want your water to taste like.
Yeah. And you have that information obviously in the in your book. So for sure. Eric Greiling is coming back to talk to me for just a minute, but we're visiting today with Joshua McFadden, who is the author of Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. And I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments as we move along today. Number for that, 800-642-1234. Or if you'd like, we've gotten a lot of nice emails. The email address, talk@wpr.org. We are in our winter member drive, and Eric drops back in with me today to help raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, like this one. I hope you'll join in today. Support from people like you, it's the largest source of our funding, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so very important.
Thank you, Larry. I'm here to help communicate that your gift, you the listeners, during this winter member drive is so important because it does directly support your daily listening. The trustworthy reporting, the thought-provoking conversations, the getting better at things in daily life. You come here, they're available for you thanks to you. Choose an amount that's right for you, then make your gift at WPR.org or with that call to 888-202-2552.
Having fun today talking with Joshua McFadden about cooking. We've spent a lot of time, obviously, on his book, Six Seasons of Pasta, which has taken us into cheese and water levels in the pots and all kinds of things that are kind of fun and interesting to talk about and valuable to talk about. And when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So please choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
And a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. So you would choose the monthly amount that's right for you, because as a sustainer, you'll be helping us out an awful lot, and you'll be making ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
Many people give $10 or maybe $20 a month. I know some folks who are giving $100 a month. You could become a sustainer right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
As a thank you for your donation, we have a special gift for you this drive. It's a mug featuring WPR's logo that is soon to be your favorite.
So the mug is a ceramic mug.
Logo on both sides.
It's got some speckles on it. It
has a orange rim.
I like the big handle on it.
I feel like I want to share it with the people I love in my life.
I would always have it filled with a hot beverage.
Coffee every day. Lots of coffee.
Hot chocolate.
My hot tea in the afternoon.
Ask for your WPR logo mug when you give $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Eric Greiling. Your support during our drive makes these shows possible, and your gift could be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Maybe you've already made a donation to WPR this year, or you're already a sustaining member. Thank you so much. But it's also time for you to consider making an extra gift. It could be $50, it could be $100, it could be increasing your sustaining level at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Please join us in this drive, show your support for The Larry Mueller Show, and thank you for any extra support for the programs you enjoy every day.
You know, we used to offer WPR socks, and I started the WPR Sock Club at that time. And I'm now thinking about adding the WPR mug to that group.
Oh, yeah,
you know, the club. And you would need, in order to attend the meetings, which are very well attended, by the way, for the sock club, if you add in the coffee mug when you come to the sock club meeting, there should be an extra benefit for that.
I think there should be. I mean, we've got a great window cling. We'll say thank you to folks with a gift at any level with a great WPR window cling, which will help show you yourself, remind you that you're a very important part of WPR, and signal your support to everyone around you that WPR matters to you, matters to the community.
Stephen Green Bay says, I'm donating for all the positive programs on WPR. And what about you? Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Great to have you along today on WPR News. You've got to get your hands on a copy or take a good look at Joshua McFadden's book. It's titled Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. And some callers online and emails. Let's go to by the way, if you want to join in, the number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And we'll get you on pretty quickly. Neil in Winona, Minnesota has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Neil.
Hi, good afternoon. I cannot stand sticky noodles. And when I'm cooking pasta, it seems like the more water I use, the less cloudy the water. And I always attributed the cloudiness of the water maybe the starch. Is there any truth to that? Is it better to use more water to end up having less sticky noodles, or is there something else a person can do?
Okay.
Your noodles will really just stick within the first, like, minute to 2 minutes of being in water. So if you're diligent about agitating the pot during that time and making sure that they won't stick after that point.
So the first 2 minutes, you're saying, roughly.
Absolutely, yeah. You just kind of have to just stand there and kind of, like, move them around. I mean, not for 2 minutes straight, but just keep coming back to it, especially the first, like, 20, 30 seconds they're in the pot. Move them around, and then check on it every, like, 15 seconds or so to make sure that they don't stick. And then after that, you're good to go. They won't stick after that point.
Yeah, okay. Neil, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. That's a tip that I think everybody's going to be able to use as we move along today here in the show. I wanted to get back to equipment just a bit. Skillets. What size do you need in order to make the recipes in your book?
I really kind of gravitate towards the 10-inch skillet that I have just kind of always used. So I think I know how to use it well, so it's easier for me. Bigger is always better than smaller, I'll tell you that. So I would always err on that side because it's easier to move things around in a bigger pot as opposed to trying to make up for it in a smaller pot.
Yeah.
Or pan, skillet.
Yeah. And one thing you talk about is, and might need, I think you do, a pepper mill. And I, you know, freshly ground pepper, why does it make all, it seems to make all the difference sometimes.
Isn't it amazing? Pepper is like one of the, probably the unsung heroes of the kitchen. It just, when it cracks, or let alone if you like toast it and then like put it in a mill after it's cooled down and then crack it, it just, all the oils are fresh and vibrant at that point when they're being cracked, as opposed to like cracked pepper that's just sitting in something that who knows how long it's been like that. So it just has more life in it. More texture, more flavor, more pungent.
And I'm thinking about pepper here because I tried one of your dishes, and the one that I tried, I want to make sure I did one before the show, was the short rib ragu with black peppercorns, which... I was kind of hungry for the short ribs. I prepared them at Christmas, on Christmas Day, for my daughter. I was visiting her, and I And they turned out pretty good, but I have to tell you, the recipe you have in your book really is good and better. And but anyway, I wanted to try it because one of the reasons is because I got from friends as a, well, actually a retirement from teaching thing a few years back. I got a Le Creuset Dutch oven. My goodness. You use them?
Yes, I love them. They're so great. Oh, they're the best. I used one last night for dinner. It was great.
Oh,
that, I like that you like that the Poposto short rib ragu recipe. It's interesting. I mean, again, in there, I know that like you can take out the peppercorns if they're too much, but I think it's a really interesting dish.
I think if you, and if I left them in and they just sort of, they kind of melt away in your mouth.
I know, the texture is actually really kind of wild, huh? Yeah, it's a really fun dish. That's definitely one of those ones that has been kind of, I don't want to say love or hate, but it's not far off. But again, you can work around them if you know you're not gonna like them, so that makes it easy.
I wondered if you could substitute another meat, because for some people, the short ribs, they're kind of fussy.
Oh, sure, yeah, I'm sure you can use a chuck or other stew meat and do arrive at the same idea.
That's what I thought. When I was done, I really loved it because it's so rich and so good. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes a while because it takes a while for the short ribs to, you know, to be in a proper condition to be able to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you got time, you put it, you know, I have my Dutch oven out and on a low heat and just let it go. And it smells great all the while you want to get in there and start eating.
Yeah, it's fun to visit the stove. It sure does smell good. It is actually really, yeah, I love braising meats in the fall and winter.
Oh, it was just a really nice experience, and with that nice Dutch oven, I'm telling you, it's magical. Dustin in Stevens Point has something. Let's go there. Hi, Dustin.
Hi, I have a question. And I don't know if this is a wise tale, but is there any value to refrigerating your pasta overnight, from a nutritional standpoint?
You mean uncooked or cooked?
Cooked. So cooking it in advance and then refrigerating it for 24 hours before you eat it.
Oh.
That's the first time I'm hearing that. I've never heard that. I don't understand what the scientific health benefits would be, though.
Yeah. So
I would question that right out of the gate.
Yeah. Well, here's something I did, which doesn't relate to the pasta, but relates to the short ribs. I realized, because I had something going on later in the afternoon, I realized once I started the first process, which was browning the short ribs, that I was not going to be able to go through the entire process. So what I did was I browned them on all sides, and then I took them out and I put them in the refrigerator and left them for the next day when I had more time to really go through the whole process.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. That's because of space though, right? And time.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I knew I wasn't going to be able. I didn't want to go further with the ragu and so forth, and until I had time to follow the process through to the end. And I thought, well, the best place to stop is probably where I've got the meat browned.
I think that's perfect. That makes sense.
Yeah,
I would do it. It's like restaurant cooking, big batch cooking.
Yeah, and I like you had some, there were some other things about that recipe. I had a lot of it right in my house. I mean, I had stuff there. I had the red onion, and I had some celery stalks, and I didn't have a fennel bulb, but I did have leeks. And
I love leek.
And I figured leeks could be a good substitute for fennel bulbs. So your recipe did not get followed right to the exact letter there, Joshua. But did I do okay on that?
No, I think that's an interesting. I don't think they're. You can sub them out for one or the other. I think leeks are a great flavor any way you look at it. So I think that's great.
Yeah. So I put in the leeks. I had garlic, of course, cloves, and I had some. Always have some white wine, and I had a can of whole peeled tomatoes and some bay leaves, and I had the peppercorn. So, I mean, all I needed to really get was the short ribs. I did get some fresh rosemary, too, while I was at the store. But, I mean, that's all there was to the recipe. But you wind up with this brilliant flavor in that dish. And then with the pasta, the way you make the pasta, I followed your directions on the type of pasta to use. And
amazing.
And it's just that ragu just filters into the pasta itself, and you get a really wonderful flavor from that dish. I can tell you that
for
free.
That's cool. But is that the one you made for your daughter?
No, the one I made for my daughter was on Christmas Day. And then, so this is a couple months later, because I was still missing that, but then I made yours.
Oh, I see.
Yours, and yours was a lot better than mine was, to be perfectly, honest. I really liked it a lot. Peggy in Verona has something. Let's just go there. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. I just am responding to a previous comment by a caller about refrigerating your pasta for 24 hours. And I have no verification of this, but I have read in a few different sites that refrigerating the pasta for 24 hours can reduce the carb count, you know, when you're looking to reduce your carbohydrate intake because of diabetes or whatever, that could be helpful.
Huh. So it lowers. Run that by me once more, Peggy.
Well, what I understand, and I'm not real conversant in all this, but that when you're watching your carbohydrate count, which is something you need to do if you're on the borderline for diabetes or whatever, refrigerating the pasta for 24 hours and eating it after that, instead, you don't take in as many carbs. Again, I've not verified this anywhere, but I've read it in a few different places.
Oh, well, Peggy.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. That's something that I hadn't heard about for sure. And Jill Nadeau has already showed putting up to me something about a story on it from from Ohio State Health. So there is apparently something to it, Peggy. Thank you very much for that information. You know, one of the things I love, Joshua, about this show is that people are great to call in. They're great to add to the show. It's one of the one of the joys of doing this show is the input that we get from our listeners. Really a lot of fun. And now here we are in our winter member drive, and Eric Greiling comes back to be with me again for a couple of minutes anyway. Just to remind you that your gift keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. So make your contribution right now. If you haven't done it yet, do it now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We do this as a service to you. We love to hear from you during the content of the show, but you are so important to hear from to support the work of WPR. As a listener, I expect you agree. WPR is indispensable, and it's an unparalleled service for information, inspiration, and connection in Wisconsin. And we're relying upon you more than ever for your support so that we can build a future where we continue to serve the needs of everyone in our community. Let's keep WPR strong together. Join in right now with your gift at WPR.org or with a phone call to 888-202-2552.
If you think about a single month, there are hundreds of discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio. And I was thinking back, I think I mentioned this on the show the other day, but I've done about 30,000 interviews.
Wow.
So there's 30,000 topics
right there.
Got covered right there. But think about if you, and that pales in comparison if you think of all the other people who are doing all of this work, hundreds of thousands of discussions here. And so many interesting people. I've had so much fun talking with people like Joshua and all the guests. And I love doing it because I think it's a nice community of listeners. There's all these discussions. There's interesting people who listen to this program. And many of them support Wisconsin Public Radio. If you haven't given a gift before, or maybe you haven't given one for a while, take that step right now. When you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you're making all these programs possible.
Definitely. And sometimes you actually do get more than you pay for. And WPR is one place where that's true every day. If you think about just a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love, that's something we can use to keep this going.
Works out to $60 a month. And you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
First of all, I really believe in what Wisconsin Public Radio does. When I would listen to the pledge drives every year, I would often think, oh yeah, I should call in, or go online and pledge, and then eventually I would do that. When it came around this year, I just thought, you know, this would be so much easier to just do a monthly donation sustaining public radio. Being a sustainer is good for me because I know that I'm doing my fair share. Even if it's not the largest contribution, it's a steady monthly contribution that I know is helping to keep the station on the air. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
I like that steady contribution.
Very important.
Yeah. And you can do that, too. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution during our drive here. Larry Mueller here with Eric Greiling. Do it now. If you haven't done it, if you've never been given to WPR before, it's easy. A very short process. Just takes a couple of minutes. You answer some basic questions, name, address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay it.
And it is easy. And when you do, you'll feel so good knowing that you're doing your part to keep WPR thriving. Ask for your WPR logo mug during this drive, this stylish mug with the blaze orange top to it. You'll be supporting the programs you value, and you'll get to show off your love of WPR with this stylish mug. Ask for it when you go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
Sharon in Yorkville, Illinois, says she listens to WPR every time she drives up to Wisconsin. Your gift right now, very important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you very much for that. Taking a look at pasta today and cooking it with Joshua McFadden, whose book is a dandy, Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. You can join in, 800-642-1234, email the talk at WPR.org. Aaron in Madison has something for us about that refrigerated pasta. Let's go there. Hi, Aaron.
Hey guys. Yeah, I do. I just wanted to say that refrigerating pasta does not reduce the total carbs, but it does change how your body processes carbs. So the key shift here is that is through the formation of resistant starch, which behaves more like a fiber and is less digestible. So that means that fewer carbs are absorbed quickly and the glycemic impact drops. But the pasta still contains the same total grams of carbs. So this is about cool and cooked pasta triggering starch retrogradation, where some of the gelatinized starch recrystallizes into resistant starch. So that's the reality of what's actually happening there.
Oh, man, is that cool. Aaron, thanks so much. Joshua, it sounds like we both learned something today on the show.
We sure did.
I did not know that. Well, there's a lot of things I don't know. I can tell you that for sure.
I barely know anything. So you're ahead of the game.
That's one of the joys of doing this program. I know a little bit about a whole lot of topics. Jeff and Barry Mills called to ask if German Spätzle is considered pasta.
Sure. Yeah, I would say yes.
Yeah, I guess I don't know why you wouldn't. Yeah, yeah. Janice emailed, excuse me, when she lived in Japan several years back, she would order cold buckwheat noodles carry out. They came on a stack of, bamboo trays, and they were very good on a hot, muggy day.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like heaven.
Buckwheat noodles. I've never had buckwheat. I probably haven't, didn't realize I was having it. Buckwheat noodles. What? Have you had buckwheat noodles?
I have, yeah. Soba noodles like that too, yeah. But if you had like buckwheat pancake?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Buckwheat is a really great flavor. We don't have the same buckwheat grain, though, to be able to make that style of noodle as well as it is in Japan.
Oh, okay. Our producer, Clara, tried a different recipe from your cookbook, and actually I hope we got permission from you. We have a link to that particular recipe on our website, hopefully with your approval.
That sounds great.
Yeah, that we can go to that. And the one that she tested out and really liked a lot was peas with pistachio, olives, and mint. She was really pleased with her results.
That's a great recipe. That's a great recipe. I love that in the springtime. It really, that's the fun thing about seasonal eating is the way that things literally smell in season. So when you're like starting to smell that with fresh peas, it's really, spring is sprung.
Yeah. I don't know. She probably used frozen.
you can definitely use frozen, but I'm always advocating for people eating seasonally. But frozen peas are great because they freeze them when they're so fresh. But I would at least even use frozen peas and still eat it in the spring. How about that?
Yeah, that's okay. And we do have a link to that. And I looked at the recipe. I didn't try it because she was trying it, and it's pretty darn straightforward. And we have a link again on our webpage, so talk@wpr.org/Larry. Go there, and we'll have a link up to get you a look at that particular recipe. Inga wants to know, how do you strike a balance between sweet, sour, and bitter? Woo!
Sweet, sour, and bitter?
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, I think you're balancing bitter with the sweet and the sour most often, right?
Yeah, I would.
So it's like a agrodolce style sweet and sour will definitely balance bitter. But most people don't like bitter, especially in our country. It's not everyone's favorite flavor, I'll tell you that.
Based on a lot of experience.
So you just kind of have to mask it with, like, the sweet or the sour or a little mixture of both, and I think it becomes much more palatable.
Yeah. Well, Joshua, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It's been a lot of fun talking with you, and I've certainly enjoyed your book. And now I have a whole cupboard full of pasta that I picked up yesterday.
And peppercorns.
And, well, peppercorns I already had, but I'm glad to have all those types of pasta. Joshua McFadden, our guest, and his book is Six Seasons of Pasta, A New Way with Everyone's Favorite Food. And I've got a new way for you to do something if you're just sitting there wondering, what should I do next? Well, I think it'd be great if you would contribute right now to Wisconsin Public Radio. Step up. Be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I tell you what, Eric, probably a lot of people have already contributed. I know they have, but there are still some that haven't.
Tens of thousands of people have contributed, and we are so grateful to them. Thank you if you've already given. Thank you if you've given during this drive. If not, there is no time like the present to fund the independent journalism and the meaningful conversations. Over 30,000 of them right here with Larry. We've learned that you count on from Wisconsin Public Radio. It's easy. You choose the amount, then make your gift at WPR.org or call us 888-202-2552.
Programs like this, I think, are a benefit to listeners. You know, I always figure if I learn something,
right?
listeners are probably going to learn something as well. And my life has been enriched a lot by doing this program. And I think as you listen to the show, maybe your life's been enriched by it, too. We're kind of unique. We're listener-supported, and that makes when you give at WPR.org, or maybe a phone. You pick up the phone and dial 888-202-2552. You make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
You can learn how good it feels to help WPR thrive into the future, to become part of this community, to know that you're doing your part to keep programs like this on the air. Make an ongoing gift of, say, $15 or $20 a month, whatever is the right amount for you. Set that up with us. It'll come out of your credit card or your debit card, right out of your bank account, maybe. We call it a sustaining gift. For us, we know we can depend on that. The beauty of it is for you that you don't need to remember to renew your support every year.
There, every month, every year after year. Become a sustainer right now and help us out at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your contribution, maybe it's $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it makes a big difference for our entire community.
We know we live in a generous society, a generous state. The generosity of our listeners is amazing. And we're always there to help a neighbor or a coworker in need, push a car out of the ditch. We chip in for the good causes. And you can continue that great tradition of generosity when you support WPR right now.
Step up with your gift. Many first-time donors give $120 or $10 a month. The amount's totally up to you. The important thing is that you make your first ever gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thanks, a big thanks to WPR sustaining members. You might become one. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. It's been a lot of fun talking with Eric today, Greiling, and I enjoy this program a lot. I think Eric's had a good time listening.
I have, for sure. And I've learned a few things, too.
Well, we always try to learn something. If you haven't contributed yet, do it right now. Go to WPR.org and make your contribution, or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you.